But welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is still with us. Sandy, before we went to break, I was asking you about why we can't get the nursing home situation fixed in this country. You talked about the sheer numbers of baby boomers that are going to be finding themselves in nursing homes in the coming decades or so. And we know it's coming. And they're building more and more warehouses to, and that's what they are, to warehouse people in. And we do know that they still have not done what needs to be done to hire enough people to pay those people commensurate with the fact that they are dealing with human beings in the latter stages of their lives. And yet it's almost impossible to get the regulations necessary. You know, you would have thought that we learned a lot from COVID, where as people age and their loved ones are in these homes, how important it is for you to get a chance to see your loved one and the importance of that. But we haven't been able to figure that out since the COVID situation, Sandy, and it hasn't gone away. As a matter of fact, you know, this again goes to what you said several years back about our lack of planning. But I mean, the Congress has to become a priority. Why is this not a priority in our country, Sandy?
Well, to be honest with you, I think it has speaks to our culture and our values. If this is a marketplace issue, right? The marketplace is sort of deciding how much money families and people spend on homes and nursing homes and what quality of nursing homes they get, or even whether they go into nursing homes. China, this evil empire that David's talking about, has a reputation, however, of taking very good care of its elderly. It's a culture in which the elderly are viewed in high esteem and given great care, and a great deal of attention is paid to them. That's a cultural value. Our cultural values seem to be aimed at people during the periods of their lives when they're thriving. We seem to ignore children. We aren't spending money on child daycare because they haven't yet emerged into the economy. And when the people exit from the economy, as the elderly do, we seem to stop caring for them as well. So there's a cultural value problem here. There's also just a difficult numbers problem. We have fewer people working as compared to the number of people retired and getting old. The baby boomers are a very big generation, and we're going to be very hard to support if, in fact, families don't decide to support the elderly in the same manner that families in this archenemy evil ex-empire China care for their elderly. And in fact, the way elderly are cared for in very, very many foreign countries. The United States is kind of unique in the way in which we tend to turn our backs on the elderly. And we can say that they're our loved ones, but as a culture, at least, we don't treat the elderly like treasured loved ones.
No, we really don't, Sandy. And to me, that's always been a thorn in my side. And not because my dad, died in the nursing home. It is because when you walk in, and again, nursing homes are different, depending on what people's resources are. But as the wealthiest nation on earth, we can do a better job, Sandy.
Nursing homes end up being ghettos for the elderly, and that isn't the way human beings live. In most environments, young children and the elderly get very closely bonded to one another, just the way children and grandparents get bonded. And the quality of life is different for an elderly person if they are mixing with those other than those that are in the waiting room for the mortuary. Okay. And you know, one only needs to visit a number of nursing homes, even high quality nursing homes, to realize that living in a place that is filled with elderly who have short time horizons, and as well to walk around amidst the smell of incontinence is a terrible environment. And we can do our best to dress up a nursing home as best we can, but it ends up being a waiting room for the mortuary.
You know, Sandy, and nursing homes, their resources, I mean, people can make, if business owners, the people who own nursing homes, make a decent living. But we've got to do a better job, Sandy, of bringing this to light and continuing to talk about it more. You talked about the news media and the changes. They're the ones who should be leading this conversation about what's taking place in the nursing homes. But you don't see that conversation. And I know it's not something people want to talk about. You know, people coming to the end of their lives. But Sandy, they're still people and they're still human as long as they are breathing in the breath of life. You can't,
yes, I mean,
you can't go ahead.
Well, some of this is the result of the way we, particularly in the United States, but some of the Western cultures deal with death, which is to treat it as something that happens to other people, to treat it as something that we try to ignore and bury. It's something we don't talk about. And I think if the life cycle were viewed more holistically and if people embraced it, then we wouldn't have this notion that we want to reject the depressing aspect of someone getting old because we know they're marching closer to the end. And, you know, we could easily accommodate elderly people in mixed housing. And there are even our models for this, to have mixed housing for affordable housing that include children, that include elderly, that include elder care. You know, there's no reason why we have to have a closet, which is a nursing home, into which we put people so that they can be visited periodically, much the way people in prison get visited by their families.
So, Sandy, why is it then that lobbyists for nursing homes, well, I'd probably answer my own question, there are not a lot of resources for lobbyists to represent the people who wind up in nursing homes. Is that what this is all about?
Well,
that they don't have a strong lobby? Because go ahead.
We're looking at that backwards, though, Earl, because we're talking about what can government do to change the way we treat the elderly when in fact we have to be asking ourselves is how do we change our culture and our value system so that we, the people, which Tom talks about, why don't we, the people, treat our elderly better?
Right.
Okay? And that's going to be the difference. The politicians will treat the elderly better if we, the people, think it's an important issue and important enough to get financial aid from the government. We don't want the government to take care of the elderly. I mean, who knows? I'm almost meeting the definition of elderly, but I think I do.
Well, you and I both.
But maybe you do too.
I'm right there with you. But what I'm saying, Sandy, is not that the government financially does this, but that the government regulate those entities that are taking care of the elderly. There are things that the government can do, and you talked about the incontinence. You know, you shouldn't have to, those people, and I know it's a difficult undertaking, but they shouldn't have to. We don't allow animals to live the way they allow people, elderly people, in some nursing homes. And I've been in enough of them over the years to be able to, you know, to draw conclusions on what happens in them. We've got to start by, again, and this conversation has been on the docket for a long time, paying people a proper wage that is going to take care of the elderly. If we pay them a better wage, you get better people who would be more willing to take care of the elderly. But the way it is now.
But it could.
Go ahead.
But it could be the standard of care for elderly ought not to be that they leave their home for the last years of their life. Maybe the standard of care ought to be that they stay at home and we come up with at-home care processes for them so that they aren't isolated. I mean, I think this is cultural as well as political, and we need to come to grips with just how our culture wants to value and treat the elderly. And I don't mean to burden, I don't think we should set up a process in which the young are burdened by the elderly, but we ought to come up with a process that respects elders as they move through life to the end and doesn't isolate them so that we don't, so out of sight, out of mind. You know, to be honest with you, I think the isolation of the elderly in many respects is because instead of embracing the elderly, we find them depressing. We find the whole fact of the end of life a depressing concept as a culture, and that is defeating our ability to provide the right kind of elder care.
You know, Sandy, man, the reason that I just enjoy listening to you and having you on is because you point out things. This too is an issue with our culture, and I don't know if that's the way it's always been in the culture in this country, but if we don't get it figured out now, we haven't seen the boom that's coming. As you know, you constantly talk about the sheer numbers of us that are not going to be able to stay home. Let's be quite frank. It's, you know, we tried to keep my mom home and tried to keep my dad home, but you come to a point where you need professionals to look out for them and to take care of them. And because as we age, our bodies and our systems start breaking down. And so you need professionals in order to, you know, to take care of that. I don't know, Sandy, if this goes back to the healthcare issue and the fact that this needs to be addressed somewhere along the lines with healthcare and those types of things. But when we get back, let me know if this is tied into health with our healthcare issues or if it's something completely different than that. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Sandy Williams is on the line. We'll be right back.